Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Thursday, May 10th, 2018. With me today, I have John Martellaro again. How are you, John?
Kicking things off. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. Kelly Gaumont is back again. How are you, Kelly?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I am doing well. And as promised from Apple Context Machine yesterday, Brian Chaffin is here too. Hey, Brian, how are you?
Man, I am good. I have found half a hootenanny. So now I am a mere hootenanny away from a really good time.
Okay, that's awesome. And if you're not sure what that means, that's okay. All you have to do is listen to yesterday's Apple Context Machine. So that would be the May 9th Apple Context Machine.
Indeed. 461.
Episode 461. I'll put a link in the show notes because I'm sure that's exactly why everyone wants to check out the show, just because they want the hootenanny thing.
Yeah, it's important.
Plus the bonus rabbit holes that we ran down.
Yeah.
Anyhow, so the reason everyone is here today is so that I can tell you that our sponsor is Simple Contacts, and they're really awesome, you know, for your eyeballs to be able to see. Actually, the other reason you're here is because I wanted to talk about the whole Google Duplex thing and this voice assistant thing and where we are with all of this and how. To get this going, listeners, I'll fill you in on what Google Duplex is. This is something that Google showed off during Google I/O this week, and it's a feature that's not available yet, but they're saying it will be coming at some point, where Google Assistant can act as a on your behalf and like make phone calls to make appointments and schedule things. And the person on the other end of the line will think it's an actual human talking. And the demonstration that they gave was, it was really compelling to watch. And for me also, just a little bit creepy, where you have a human who's setting up like a haircut appointment. And Google Duplex is negotiating this thing, trying to find the right time for the haircut and offering up additional details about what you wanted with the haircut. And in the end, it gets this haircut scheduled. And then they had another example where Google Duplex set up a dinner reservation at a restaurant. And it was the same thing. It was able to deal with changing information and went through this whole thing. And at the end, unless you knew that it wasn't a human talking, you probably wouldn't have realized that it wasn't a human talking. It did the little mannerisms that humans tend to do where you make or say the different things to fill blank space. It did the upspeak thing, so you had ums and ahs. It was going mm-hmm when the human was talking to indicate that yes, I'm paying attention, and it felt very human. And so here we are after starting to discuss this yesterday on Apple Context Machine, and Kelly and John wanting to talk about it today on Daily Observations. So I figured I needed to throw all three of you together and let's talk about this.
Mm-hmm. Well, we knew this was coming. We've been talking about this for years. We knew with artificial intelligence technology and agents and Alexa and all of these voice assistants, we knew this was coming. And we kind of fantasized about it in a sci-fi dreamy way. And yet, when it's demoed, we get all creeped out. And I find that interesting.
Because I don't think anyone expected this. I think that's part of it. We did expect that a robot would make a call for you, but we expected that robot to sound like the robots we have now. I expected a robot that makes a phone call for me to sound like the lady in my phone or the lady in my Echo. I did not expect it to sound like a human the first time we get a practical demonstration of this
Kelly,
in use.
We've been working on voice synthesis for 20 years now, Kelly, trying to improve the quality of sound so that it sounds like a human. This is just the next step. Well,
hold on. Stop, both of you. Who besides Kelly is complaining about that? And how many people are actually creeped out? Almost every reaction I saw to this was extraordinarily positive.
I saw people who, here's what I saw when I was looking at reaction to this yesterday is, and I'm not creeped out by it or anything. I just thought, I just didn't know we were there yet, I guess. I saw a lot of people who said, it was cool to see. And then I saw people who said, I don't want to get phone calls from robots if I don't know that they're robots.
That, I haven't answered that.
That was the reaction that I saw. I'm not saying it was my reaction. I'm just reporting it back. I thought it was really interesting how many people thought it was super cool and then went, I would be mad if I got a call from a robot. See, my hang up starts way at the beginning, which is no woman's going to randomly call a hair place and let the robot handle it. That's not a thing. We've talked about it in the meetings. This isn't how it works.
That wasn't the point of that. And I mean,
I know
both of those demos and this is what Jeff and I talked about yesterday. These were demos and they were carefully constructed demos. Otherwise it would have been live and they were most likely scripted demos on the human side. As well,
that restaurant call sounded pretty off hand. Because
it did sound like that. So, but how many takes did that require? And I would personally bet $1 million that the person on the other end went through a script.
Yeah, but the fact that it isn't perfect yet, it's kind of beside the point.
Yeah, this was, in my mind, a technology demonstration. Google saying, this is what we're working on. This is where it's going. Not, this is happening today.
Yeah, and I think it's premature to read into it all sorts of specters. You know, like, this is something that is done on behalf of somebody who's in control. And then the specter is that, this technology is sold to telemarketers. We're going to get robocalls, and then we won't be able to tell a human from a computer, and does it really matter? And your mind starts whirling all these specters before we even get off the ground.
All of that is true.
Yeah.
All right, robocalls will be using this. Politicians will be using this. Marketers will be using this. Scammers will eventually get their hands on this technology. I mean, these things will all happen. But that, of course, in my opinion, doesn't mean that we shouldn't go there. Because
because
we're going to go there.
I have a solution. I was thinking about this overnight. I thought that all we have to do is have a federal law that's like two lines of text that says it's illegal for the AI agents to lie. So you get a phone call and it says, hi, this is Mary from so-and-so insurance company. And you say, are you a human or are you a machine?
It's illegal to lie.
And she says, oh, I'm a machine. And then you hang up.
Yeah, because the law that says if I opt into the do not call database means that people won't get to call my cell phone is working marvelously at the moment, John. That's all I'm saying. Marvelously. I gotta go. My phone is ringing.
Yeah. This is why I have Haya on my iPhone.
So the thing about this, and because you know at some point this conversation is going to come to this, and that is Jeff Goldblum in Jurassic Park. Just because we can doesn't mean we should. And I think
Kelly, this is happening.
I know it's happening, but I think that this is indicative of a larger thing where because we can do this with technology, nobody's thinking through the part where, like, what if someone I don't want to call me is using this to call me? Some organization that I don't want to talk to. Well, now I get robocalls.
It happens now. It already happens. What are you talking
about? But it's much easier when my phone rings for someone to go.
For this. Well, you've been looking for this, Kelly. For decades, this is the software agent writ large, and we've science fiction has been talking about this for decades. I mean, like we've been. I mean, like
I know
we've been wanting this. Why any trepidation whatsoever?
I don't have any trepidation. I'm just questioning.
It's like saying these horseless carriages in 1900, they're going to run over people and kill them anyway. They're terrible.
Well, at the time, they could only go 2 miles an hour. So, yeah, the worst you were going to do is nudge someone to death with a Model A. I mean, come on.
First comes the technology, then comes the reaction, then comes the social mechanisms to control it.
Where does the baby carriage come in? Sorry, tangents.
That's a different set of circumstances. Of course, Brian. Yeah,
my mistake there. There will be problems with this. It will be used, all of which is inevitable. Mm-hmm. And the bad guys, and I'm kind of including the the services that want to make money from politicians at the very least, but in bad guys, the bad guys are going to get this no matter what.
I know.
So we might as well get it too.
All right. I think it's just
a matter of asking the question. I'm not saying I'm mad about it. I'm not saying I don't want it to happen. All I'm really doing is asking the question about what we're doing with it and like what sort of implications it's going to have, because I don't, with all kinds of different technology, I don't think those questions are being asked enough times. And that's all. I'm just trying to start a conversation so people think it through.
Okay, hold that thought right there, because I want to talk about our sponsor. Can you believe I actually was able to wedge myself back into the conversation with all three of you here? Holy crap.
Well played, sir.
Thank you. Okay, so our sponsor today is Simple Contacts. And what I love about Simple Contacts is that they make your eyeballs work better for a lower price than you're going to pay other places. So here's the deal. They have this app that you can use on your computer or on your smartphone where it does a self-guided test of your eyes. So it can help figure out if your current prescription that may be expired, if it's still good. So you finish the little test. It costs only $20 to do. And then Simple Contacts, they have their own licensed ophthalmologists that review your test. And if the results that they see tell them that the prescription you have that's expired is actually still good, then they'll renew it for you, and now you can go ahead and order your contacts. And they have all the big brands of contacts. There's a really good chance that whatever contacts you want to wear, they have. And so you're going to get those at a lower price. It's easy to do. It's really convenient. You're not going to pay shipping on your orders, and it saves you the time of having to skip work for a while, go to the eye doctor, spend $200 to get your eyes checked, and just go through that whole process. It's really convenient. It's really easy, and it's a great way to make sure that your eyeballs work right. So here's the deal. What you guys can do is get $30 off. Simply because you want to see better and you have you happen to be a Daily Observations listener. So head over to their website, simplecontacts.com/TDO. And when you go there, you're going to get $30 off your first order. simplecontacts.com/TDO. So it's easy to do. It's a great deal. And also keep in mind, you still should go see your eye doctor every now and then, because there's a lot that your eye doctor is doing for you during a regular checkup that goes beyond just making sure that your prescription is still accurate. So don't forget to show your eye doctor some love too. And then show your wallet some love. Save $30 off that first order, simplecontacts.com/TDO. And thank you to Simple Contacts for being our sponsor. All right. So I'm going to pose a question to you guys. Actually, I'm going to pose a scenario, because I'm looking at all the potential negatives that we have with Google Duplex. But I'm also thinking about how empowering this could be for some people. Let's say that you have some sort of hearing problem. Maybe you are completely deaf. Maybe you have some hearing condition that makes it incredibly difficult to hear on the phone. And now you can use Google Duplex as that conduit to take care of setting up those appointments that you would otherwise be doing on the phone and have it happen much faster than if you're trying to go through someone else or use some sort of TTY system. You mm-hmm. can use this, and it becomes this incredibly simple process. Also, what if you have some other situation in your life where talking on the phone is a real issue? Maybe you're autistic and you want to make an appointment for something, but the anxiety of making that phone call is just too much.
What if you simply don't want to spend all your time negotiating with the phone tree or being on hold, and you would much rather have your virtual assistant take care of that for you?
That's awesome. Yeah.
These are great examples.
Have your virtual assistant handling like 3 or 4 scheduling things for you at the same time while you're working on something that's making you more productive.
Have my virtual assistant negotiate the incredibly annoying and unhelpful phone trees for the bank.
Oh my God, that would be fantastic.
Or the telephone company, or, you know, whatever. All those things.
Now, that would be using auto assistant powers for good. I would be into that, primarily because everything has moved to some sort of voice navigation system, and about half the time they still can't parse what I'm saying. So when I tell you guys I'm such a big Seer cheerleader, this is the reason why, because there are still ones where I say operator or tech support or whatever it is, and the assistant, using that same sort of natural language speech pattern, goes, I'm sorry, I didn't quite catch that, could you say it again? And I keep repeating it, and I'm speaking clearly, and I don't get anywhere with the assistant.
That would be glorious, Kelly. After 15 minutes of activity, your AI turns to you and says, hey John, I now have a human on the line, pick up.
Yes. See, I would like that.
Yeah, me too.
That would be really cool.
But yeah, we can't get that without also getting the robocalls.
I know.
This is a fact.
And I understand that. I'm just pointing out that we should discuss it.
Unless we take John's two-line law and add a third one, which says that we're going to put people who do it to death. Quick show of hands.
Add a third line to the law. There we go.
That may
on penalty of death. I think that's something we can all get behind.
Who answers their phone today anyway? We certainly don't answer it. We wait for a message, and if the message is important, we call back.
Well, yeah, but to be fair, who has a landline anymore? Come on.
Yeah, that's a good question. Even my parents got rid of their landline.
Yeah, mm-hmm. But John still has one, is my point.
No, I have Verizon Home Phone Connect, which is a cell phone system that interconnects with my cordless. So it's technically a cell phone system because it's wireless.
Yeah, I like how John justifies it that way.
Yeah, keep mm-hmm. yourself that. That's great.
Yeah, it's a backup system. In case the internet goes down, I have access.
So we are getting close to out of time. And yet, I'm going to pose another question to you guys. Do you feel that there's some sort of ethical or moral obligation for the companies that are developing these communication systems like Google Duplex that are so close to sounding human that they trick us? Do they have a moral or ethical obligation to have these systems identify themselves? So, like with the haircut example, have the assistant do the call, and it says, hi, I'm Alexa and I'm calling for Jeff, and he needs to get his haircut. Do you have any appointments on Tuesday at noon? And then let the whole thing go from there.
I don't think there's an ethical requirement there, but I think it's a good idea for the person who's receiving the call to be able to affirm whether it's a human or not, and then develop their own policies. Like the restaurant could say, we don't accept robocalls. Our policy is that we only talk to humans, and that'll naturally solve the problem. So the receiver can have his own policy about that, but I think it'd be premature to impose that on
what we're going to have. We're going to have two of these AIs talking to each other and sounding human.
You mean like the video that the person had of the the Echo Base that was talking to the iPhone, where each one was like, remind me of an appointment tomorrow, remind me of an appointment tomorrow, remind me of an appointment tomorrow, remind me of an appointment tomorrow. You
know, this call is being recorded for training purposes.
And I'm serious. I mean, I was being flippant, obviously, but I'm also serious. I mean, that will be happening almost hand in hand. As soon as the four of us could use one of these things, companies will be able to use them too. The stores will be able to use them.
You know, that totally makes sense. There's absolutely no reason to waste the man hours in to expend the man hours in a restaurant or some store where an AI could handle that efficiently and quickly and leave humans to do the human stuff.
This will replace the foundry, these technologies. And one more thing, I just want to emphasize this, despite this lovely little demo that Google showed us, we're years off from this stuff. That stuff was scripted. It was absolutely scripted. We're years off. This is not going to be happening tomorrow. And we'll be getting a lot more demos. We're going to know this stuff is coming. It's not going to just slip up on us.
Let me just add another thought here, Brian. I think it's an obsolete idea for humans to pick up the phone and talk to a computer anyway. I think humans, if they want to talk to each other, should arrange to talk to each other.
The computer should
on
arrange.
Purpose. And if the computer's going to call me on the phone, then my AI is going to answer it.
I have
and
a
they'll do battle with each other.
Oh, John, you need to read Brian's book. That's all I've got to say right there.
Okay.
We're out of time. We need to wrap up. Brian, thank you so much for being here today.
Thanks for having us, man. Good discussion.
Yeah, this was a lot of fun. John, thank you for being here.
My pleasure. Nice to be here.
And Kelly, thank you for being here, too.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, it's great to have all three of you on the show today. And somehow I managed to make it through alive. Hey, Simple Contacts, thank you for being our sponsor today. Listeners, head over to their website, simplecontacts.com/TDO, to get $30 off your first contact order. That $20 vision check thing to make sure that your prescription is still good, that's an awesome deal. So check that out. If you get all the way to their website and realize that you forgot to use the special URL, that's okay. I'm not going to cry. I've got your back. Just use the discount code TDO at checkout and you'll still get that $30 off. So simplecontacts.com/TDO. Thank you for being our sponsor. Listeners, thank you for being here. I love that you join me every day. You guys are the best. So thanks for listening. See you again tomorrow.